it's harder for them to hear God speak in the midst of it, because all they can hear is us yakking away.
Family man. Yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Boom! That was the opening segment because of Star Wars, because today's May the 4th be with you. Did you know that, Scott?
Yes, sir.
As we were recording that, I don't know why I don't even care, but it's somehow I just saw it. I know my kids are like, they're all saying, did you see the Obi-Wan Kenobi trailer for the new Disney Plus series? I guess a new one just came out. And I saw some chatter back and forth between my older sons, and they're like, oh, that still gives me chills, one of my sons said. So that must be in there. So, Scott, what's your favorite Star Wars maybe moment or movie? Or
wow, that's a tough one.
I know. I was off the cuff. You had no warning.
I'm going to have to go with the moment they meet Jar Jar Binks. I mean, that's just, that is up there with great moments.
How rude!
Why not? That sounds like no.
That's good.
I think the first time I saw a lightsaber changed my world. That was pretty cool.
That's true. Like I went to the original one.
Yes.
Which I get so lost in the Star Wars universe. I mean, my kids are like, oh, that's Clone Wars. That's whatever, you know, and they just talk about it like, oh, that's episode 4. And I'm like, well, I saw the first one. No, that is number 4, Dad. And I'm like, what do you mean is the fourth? It's the first one. So I don't know. But I saw the original. I think I was 13 in 1978. I went with my brothers and Mark Davis, and my dad took us to the movie. And I don't think my dad ever took us hardly to the movies. And just the magic of it. I mean, you know, back in those days, everybody saw it like 8 or 9 times. And it was... those are the kind of the bragging rights. I saw 13 times. that was a big moment. And really, it's probably all been downhill ever since. I don't think I've cared too much about much of it. But my kids still think it's wonderful. And I don't know why. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. It's lightsabers and battles and good versus evil and all that good stuff.
There's an epic story in there somewhere. George Lucas did everything he could to mess it up, but there's a great story in there somewhere.
Well, you know, and really, George Lucas, that first one, it was a great visual feast. Yes. But the story is kind of stupid. I mean, just the whole thing, I think, you know, and every movie, they have to include everyone. Like, so you mean Darth Vader made C-3PO, he knew R2-D2, and he didn't even say, hey, C-3PO, it's good to see you again. You know, or it's just all, you know, and Chewbacca is like in every episode related to everyone. And it's, I don't know.
Man, if you're going to start critiquing it using actual logic and sense, it's just going to fall apart quickly.
Oh, but my kids will tell you why it makes perfect sense. I'm like, wrong. I don't get it. So.
Well, people aren't even going to listen to this until after May the 4th is over. So
probably. So all the dads have already missed the festivities, even though I think
I usually release this at 10:30 at night on Wednesday night. So
there might be a few.
Yeah,
there might be a few. I know Nathan is probably listening right now, and he probably had a full day of celebration. And, you know, I love that kind of stuff, not because May the 4th, of course. As believers, we don't believe in the force. You know, I tell that to my kids and they're like, we know, Dad, we know. We also don't believe in lightsabers, you know, but
we don't believe in, you know, little sticks can be magic wands that you say Wingardium Leviosa and things float.
Right. Right. Or that cars can speak. So, but I do love those opportunities where families get together and they just do family stuff. And that's a bunch of fun to me. So
yeah,
I like that kind of stuff. Well, hey, also heads up before we get into our serious segment, Scott.
No, I have one more movie thing.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the trailer that I'm looking forward to, and I've watched like 14 times at least, is for the movie Facing Nolan. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
Nolan Ryan.
You do? Wow.
I have no idea, but who else is Nolan? I don't know any other Nolans.
That's it. He's the only one. There's a documentary movie coming out about his baseball career. And apparently they've timed him. They went back and looked at film of him. And because they didn't time that stuff. 125
miles an hour.
108 miles an hour was his fastball in his prime.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm geeked about that one. It looks awesome.
I'm not a big documentary. I don't really like true stories. You know, my wife loves stories with dogs and where there's a true story, you know, and that it kind of inspires you. I just like imagination and going to places that
I like spaceship and things blowing up
and blowing up. I don't have to have things blowing up. I just kind of like where you feel good afterwards and you're like, that was a fun journey. I don't like thinking real deeply. And so sometimes those like Facing Nolan don't, I always like it when I watch him.
That's not deep thinking stuff.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, it's true. And I'm like, I don't want true.
Okay.
I want fake.
All right.
Give me fake. Zootopia. You know, like that's fake. You know, Star Wars is fake.
Wait, you mean it's not real?
But I'm getting worn down by Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, let me guess. The guy who died before is now alive. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps on going. It just keeps on going. Of course, if you can make another $1 billion, why not? So
I haven't made my first billion yet.
Because you're doing real life. You need to do fake life.
Oh, that's my problem. Okay.
You really need to be a teenage girl on like and try to sell tennis shoes or something like that. Mm. That's all. Like my kids like to watch YouTube people on with tennis shoes or Lego or, you know, Mr. Beast. I don't even know what a Mr. Beast is, except he tries to give away money and does things and gets 100 million views or Dude Perfect. And I mean, I don't know. It's just it's a crazy world we live in, Scott. That's what old people say.
Yes, it is.
And I am one of those. I'm wearing my coat right now in my office. So
that's an old guy thing to do.
Complaining about technology. And
do teenage kids still like, I don't know, because we homeschool, so you probably don't know either.
Right, that's right.
I just remember, you know, speaking of coats, and it's cold and all that. Mm-hmm. When
yes, they still wear them outside. Sometimes.
Well, they didn't when I was in, like, junior high. I remember the mini skirt thing was a fad for a little while for girls when I was in, like, eighth grade.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember standing at the bus stop waiting for the bus to go to public school, and girls standing there in mini skirts with bare legs. At like 4 degrees outside. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, guys, even like when we went to North Pole, Alaska, you know, it was 30 below zero. I'd see people walking in shorts and, you know, short sleeves. And you're thinking, you're nuts. So maybe it is kind of a stupid kid thing.
I don't even know.
Because, you know, back in our day, I wasn't allowed to wear shorts ever to school, ever. And now they just wear them all year round. What's the world coming to, Scott?
On the heck in the handbasket.
That's right. But hey, heads up, this weekend is Mother's Day. Even if you listen to it on Thursday or Friday, hey, you still got a couple days to get ready. I know I've got something for my wife. My wife gets something for my mother. I know if my mom's listening, she knows that. But that's the way it goes. But I know dads who say, well, that's not my mother, you know. So not only do they forget their mother, they also forget their wife. But I think it's important to let your wife know that you're thankful that she's the mother of your children. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to get a big gift. You can, but even just a homemade card that just acknowledges the amazing things she does. And I don't know about Scott. I think we've talked about this in the past. My wife hates Mother's Day. Does your wife like Mother's Day?
Yeah, except she hates, you know, that I usually screw it up or forget or something. So I imagine
that. So really, she just hates you, not Mother's Day.
Yes.
My wife doesn't like Mother's Day. And I've heard her talk to some of her friends, and they don't like Mother's Day either. For the reason my wife will say, you know, I just feel like I'm not a very good mom. Why does everybody have to give me this attention and tell me that I'm a good mom? And it just, I don't like it. But you know what? We do it anyway, because my wife is a great mom and we still try to make a big deal about it. And we'll go to the restaurant she wants to eat at on Sunday afternoon, even though it probably has keto things and tasteless things.
You need to have Debbie listen to this, because this is straight from the heart. Really. I mean, you've got a lot of kids, and unless I'm mistaken, none of your kids have killed any of the other ones.
True.
Which, literally, the first family in the Bible, that happened. One of the kids killed one of the other ones. So if none of your kids have murdered any of the other ones,
you're doing okay.
You're doing a pretty good job.
You know, really, and we've talked about this before, this is really Scott's secret to parenting and marriage. Find someone who's a lot worse and highlight them.
Amen, brother.
See that guy over there, honey? He killed his first three wives. Makes me look pretty good, doesn't it?
That's right.
There you go.
That is the secret to my success.
Use the right measuring stick. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, it's time to get serious with Scott Moore.
Well, hey, I'm trying to avoid this as much as I can. So,
okay.
First of all, my son went on a date this week.
Oh, he did.
That's a little serious.
Yeah.
And how do you guys handle that whole thing? You guys did like the courtship thing for a while, but you then
up. Okay. And some of the guys are going like, courtship, what's that? So, you know, we didn't really, that was kind of our plan from the beginning, because, you know, my wife and I both would say we have, you know, some experiences we wish our kids didn't have to duplicate in the dating scene. And so somewhere when our kids were tiny, I mean, like 2-3 years old, someone started saying, well, you know, God wants you to do courtship. And it sounded like something God would say. Later on, we decided God did not say that, because he didn't. But it sounded like a good idea. And so we kind of did that. You know, when you meet someone, I can remember my son being in the back seat as a little kid, probably 6. Dad, how will I know who I'm supposed to marry? Well, you see, Ben, God will show you and he'll show us, your parents. And, you know, but as he got older, and he met a girl, he was like, yeah, Dad, but I get to decide. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But see, God will show us, he'll show your parents too. You know, I know, Dad, but it's my decision. Okay, I know it's your decision, Ben. But see, God will make it clear to us as well. And together, you know, and he finally is like, yeah, Dad, but I'm the one who ultimately decides. I'm like, you're right. Pick anybody you want. You know, I'm out of here. And so we kind of decided then that God was bigger than us. In fact, one time I tried to not set up one of my kids, but I kind of thought, oh, this person would be a good match. And, you know, I will not do that again, because it was me thinking I knew something and I don't know anything. Really, you spend your whole life training your kids and you'd like to believe, and I think we should believe, that they see something that we train them to see, you know, and sometimes maybe it takes a little while. I know Maggie, my 18-year-old daughter, has a boyfriend, and, you know, it feels awkward sometimes because it feels different. Somehow when it's your boys, you look at them, you kind of think, you know, like they're supposed to be the pursuers, but it's a weirder thing when someone's pursuing your daughter, and you felt that, you had that happen already. But it's just a weird place. I remember my brother-in-law once saying, I was saying, oh, you know, but it gets harder when you get to the teenage years. And he was like saying, oh, it really hadn't gotten hard for us. I mean, it's really been easy. And I said, that's because you haven't had any boyfriends or girlfriends yet. And they hadn't, you know, and I haven't had that conversation, like follow up kind of thing, but I'm going to guess it's gotten a lot more difficult because there have been boys and girls and heartbreaks and marriages. And, you know, I think I'm just more chill than I used to be. I know my wife is not more chill. She's less chill. But I'm kind of just realizing, you know, you do your training early and, you know, you still guide them in certain in ways. And, but then when this boy thing, once you, if you start putting your foot down and start, then they try to sneak around or they don't talk to you anymore. And it's harder for them to hear God speak in the midst of it because all they can hear is us yakking away. And so it ain't easy. It ain't easy. Good luck to you, Scott.
Hey, thanks. I've decided to try and do what this dad did that, one of the guys I follow online, John Acuff, he's an author, speaker. He posted a thing recently, this of a dad who was taking prom pictures of his daughter and the boy she was going to prom with. And he's wearing, the dad is wearing a t-shirt that is like a branded t-shirt for some sort of martial art thing. It's submission fighting competition team.
Like, exactly.
That's the way to parent. That's how you do the dad.
Well, and that's all those songs, you know, like, I'll be polishing my gun kind of thing.
There you go.
Yes.
I like that stuff. Well, anyway, my son went on a date, but this is the son. So our dating strategy, he decided he wanted to have a date when he turned 16.
Yeah.
And so he just got in the car after our homeschool co-op one day and was like, so I got a date today. Thankfully, we hadn't left the parking lot yet, so we didn't crash into anything. But
right,
he's like, what? But then we were a little trepidatious, but we let him go through with the whole thing, and not that we really had a whole lot of a choice, but I guess we did. But he ended up going to the aquarium in northern Kentucky, where it turns out his date worked there, and they had scheduled like 3 hours for this date. And if he had said anything to me about it, I probably would have said, maybe that's a little too much time to go to the aquarium.
Right.
So anyway, they ended up getting through it in about half an hour, and then him sitting there talking for 2.5 hours because she was kind of quiet.
he had his first date.
They parted as friends and, you know, didn't have another date, but it was very nice. And I was like, you know what, son, I'm proud of you. If you conducted yourself well on that date, then I don't have much to worry about.
That's right.
So anyway, this was, I don't know, his third or fourth date. He's 19 now, but, anyway, it's good. And I'm not freaking out. So I don't really have any reason to share that other than to eat up time and not mention what I was going to talk about.
I like those milestones. Well, you're acting like this is my idea. This is your idea.
Oh, I know.
So again, let's get serious with Scott Moore. Let's get serious with Scott Moore here on Family Man Radio. So what are you thinking, Scott? You wrote me, was it yesterday, last night? I'm going to read your text for the whole world. And you asked a question, shall we talk a little politics tomorrow morning? And then this threw me off because you used the emoji of me.
Oh, is that you?
That's a little smiley face with dark glasses on. I always use that for me.
Okay.
And then you put that on yours, like I felt a little like you'd crossed the line.
I didn't think that much about it. I just put it, it was just an emoji. Yeah. It didn't have any significance.
So what are you thinking politically?
Well, so obviously there's the big political event this week where, you know, it leaked from the Supreme Court that Roe versus Wade is probably going to be overturned, which I feel like anybody our age who's a Christian and cared about this issue is probably throwing a party, but at the same time freaking out because all hell is breaking loose pretty much literally at this point. And honestly, this is one of those things where I get all excited and I want to say stuff. And this is one of the reasons I went into podcasting is because I feel like the whole world needs to hear something. And if I just say it on my podcast, they'll probably listen. And I don't think the people who should listen are probably listening to this. So it's probably not worth it for me to really go into this.
Keep going.
And you look pretty bored. I can see your face on the screen. You're just like, yeah, whatever.
I'm just surfing the web. Scott, go ahead.
Yeah, just like I do when you're talking.
This is just like total payback. No, well, go ahead. I'm listening.
Gosh, this sounds dumber the more I talk.
No, it doesn't. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Honestly, I just thought, you know, because there was the inevitable pushback when the people who are freaked out about the possibility of Roe versus Wade getting overturned and their precious mm-hmm. abortion right being taken away, which is not what happens when you overturn right. Roe versus Wade. But anyway, and I just thought, you know, it's time to come home. There mm-hmm. doesn't need to be any condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
If you've believed in abortion as a right your whole life, you know, in 1973, they didn't have the ultrasound technology that they have today. It's okay to admit you were wrong. There doesn't have to be any judgment. There doesn't have to be any condemnation. Yes, that stuff was all horrible, but, you know, I've done horrible stuff and Jesus forgives me for that. And I could go through the verses, you know, in Psalm 139, it talks about being created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. There's the verse that, you know, in Luke 1 where Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist and Mary comes to visit her when she's pregnant with Jesus. And literally John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb because he recognizes the Messiah, basically. And it's like, okay,
right.
There's plenty of scriptures that show it's a life, it's a child, it's a person. We can admit this was wrong, and there doesn't have to be any condemnation. Let's move forward and go peacefully into the future. So, I don't know. It made a lot more sense in my head when I was thinking about this great moment of mine that I was going to preach about.
So what you're saying, Scott, is that we know that it's wrong, that we should be gracious to those who might not have believed that at one time.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
Well, it is kind of gets to be an ugly fight sometimes. I don't know why, but I do know why, but sometimes I feel like our voices sometimes sound the ugliest, you know? And I mean, I heard a lady on the radio, you know, like secular radio, they were just saying, so what do they have to gain by this? And they were thinking that pro-life people really just wanted criminalization of this. And I'm like, we gain people who live, you know, I mean, how can that be bad? I mean, even for helping people make right choices, even if they don't know it's the right choice at the time, I think it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So,
well, in the words of some friends of mine who wrote a song a long time ago, in a land that boasts of its freedom of speech, who will be their voice? In a land that boasts of its pursuit of life, who asks for their choice?
That's good, Scott.
Yeah. Well, I didn't write it, but...
but you remembered it.
Yes.
And you said it very nice.
Very powerful.
Well, I'm going to kind of bring this to a close. I've got a full day today. We're heading out this evening, starting to make our way down to Pigeon Forge in Tennessee for the Teach Them Diligently, Thrive Homeschool Conference. It's going to be a good weekend. A lot of encouragement. I'm sure I'll meet lots of dads and moms, and that's always so much fun because I just love hearing dad's stories. You know, and again, you can always email me at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you ever have an idea that maybe something we should talk about, and really we get guys who do it every once in a while, and we end up talking about their questions or their topics. And I love to do that. So, well, have a great weekend, Dad. Make sure you make your wife feel loved and cared about and appreciated. Let her decide where you're going to eat and what you're going to do. And if there's something that she's been, you know, kind of, I don't want to say nagging, but that's the right word. You know, like, I'd really like if this was done, why don't you take care of it this weekend and get your kids involved and do it because you did that.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.